Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Usually it is the Lunatic Fringe, but on Monday nights, we just settle back, do some trivia, and we will do that in the second and third hour tonight. But in the first hour, I want to introduce you to Frank Stallone. And I got a story, but I'll wait till Frank is on to share it with him as to why I knew who he was. But if you do or you don't, you got to see this documentary. And I got a link on it and, you know, forked over the rental fee on Amazon Prime, and it was worth every dollar. I'll tell you what, because it was just a fascinating story in by every measure. So I've got links at Rolleye.net, Rolleye.net, to renting or owning or getting a DVD if you like physical matter. You can do that as well. You can also see the trailer and check out Frank's website at frankstallone.com. Easy enough. And Frank, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you, Frank?
Good evening, Raleigh. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it really hit home when I watched your documentary because, well, let me first explain. In 1990, I was doing late nights at KMPC in Los Angeles, and this CD came in, Frank Stallone, Day In, Day Out. And I listened to it, and I thought there were some great things. I started to play it. And the morning man came in, who at the time was Robert W. Morgan, and he said, well, you know who that is, don't you? I said, yeah, he's Frank Stallone. He said, well, you know who his brother is, don't you? I said, who's his brother? He said, Sly Stallone. And I said, who's that? Because I am not a movie person. So as I was watching that documentary where time after time you were labeled as being, you know, the younger brother of, I thought to myself, well, in my mind, Sly Stallone is Frank Stallone's brother because you were the one that made the impression on me.
So, oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you, Raleigh. Appreciate it.
So I might be the only one to say that, but and we're going to play some of your stuff too, but I thought Darlin' should have been a hit when you did that single, that album, and that single came from
Yeah, you know, they thought, that was kind of an interesting situation, because by the time I'd done my first solo album, I'd been professionally playing for 19 years, so I was really looking forward to it, and Polygram Records, they did something which I've never seen before. They intercut on the B side of the 45, which I'm sure a lot of people don't even know what this are, the 45 record, they interspliced five songs from the album on the B side, and they said something on the thing that they thought there were so many hits on this that they wanted to give that. And unfortunately, I guess I didn't have the right team and all, you know, on Polygram Records, and it kind of fell short. I was just pretty proud of the album. You know, my first solo, and then the big band album came out, the one you heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was just terrific. And that you literally made a bunch of KMPC listeners swoon with that, because there weren't that many folks doing contemporary versions. Well, it's the same versions in many ways, but of songs that most of the people recording them originally were no longer with us. And when I saw the CD, you know, people like Frankie Lane and Billy Eckstein.
Tony Bennett. I love Frankie.
Oh, me too.
A friend of mine.
Me too.
Were you on there with Chuck Southcott?
Yeah, well, Chuck Southcott was our program director, yes.
He's a wonderful man.
Yes.
You know, he's the one that does my introductions to all my shows. I pre-recorded his voice, and he did it, and Gary Owens did one. So either night, I have either Gary Owens or Chuck Southcott.
Well, that's terrific.
Wonderful guys.
Yeah, and of course, yeah. Chuck loved the Pop Standards. He was the perfect program director for that all the way around.
Well, he was a big supporter of mine. And yeah. Still is. We still stay in contact, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. He still is a wonderful guy, you know?
I was hoping there would be more CDs like Day In and Day Out, but you never did another one, did you?
Well, I did another one, yes. And
you did?
I can get it to you.
Okay.
I'll get Lee. It's the last album that Billy May ever did.
Really?
Yes. And you know what's interesting? When you read the liner notes, he was thinking, because, you know, I had Sammy Nestico in the first one, who's yeah. a legend, who just passed away, who was also in my documentary. And Billy May, who gave Sinatra his first, like, number one record, was Come Fly With Me. So it was really interesting. So the only one I missed was Nelson Riddle, but you know what? For a young guy to do albums with those, and you know the people out there, Billy May produced and conducted for everyone. He went back to Glenn Miller. He's great,
sure,
great, one of the greats. And yeah, that was the last album I did with Billy. And he was basically thought he was totally unknown. You know, he didn't even know. Oh. He was surprised I even knew who he was. I go, well, yeah, I know who you are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any fan of the music. And well, it was interesting because your earlier stuff, like In Rocky, which I had to go mm-hmm. find because, like I say, never saw the movie. But of course, you did Take You Back, and having lived over a decade in Philly, you know, I had to love that. So that was terrific. But the Pop Standards were a real departure from that. What set you on that road?
Well, I'll tell you what happened on that, because after the first album on Polydor with Darlin' and all that stuff kind of didn't do anything, I lost my record deal. I mean, this always happened. Every group, everyone always had a 3-album deal except me. On RCA, 1-album deal. Polygram, 1-album deal. So I said, well, what am I going to do? Hip-hop is coming in, or what they call rap, whatever. I said, so what am I going to do right now? I said, well, I can do Pop Standards, which I always like doing anyway, so let me find the best conductor, because I figured in the way everything was getting so congested, I wouldn't have that much competition, because, you know, I mean, a lot of the guys like Dean Martin and Frank, they weren't really recording anymore, maybe once in a while. Tony Bennett was, but a lot of the greats weren't, so it would kind of give me an open road for people to hear my music, and I had a deal with RCA Records. And I swear to God, the day before I was supposed to sign, the deal fell through. That's like the story of my life. So I kind of started my own record label, which was, you know, and I got it out there, but it got great reviews. I mean, you know, I mean, Billy May wrote some amazing stuff on the album, like not comparing me, but saying like he got excited working with me like he did with Nat Cole and Fletcher and stuff. Because I kind of gave him free rein to do the album, you know. And but that's what the movie's about. You know, the movie is about, you know, 2 steps forward, 10 steps back. You keep going. You keep, you know, plowing ahead. There's no quit. Can't quit. Yeah.
That came through again and again. One of my favorite lines, and I don't remember what you were referencing it to other than a disaster, where you said it was sort of like doing a puppet show following the Beatles. And I thought, that pretty much sums it up in some cases. And so that's really the heart of this, because you're right. It's 2 steps forward. It's 12 back. With that in mind, what caused you to persevere? Most people halfway through this, and when people see this documentary, and I hope they will, it's only a little over an hour, and it's a lot of fun to watch, and you're going to see a lot of names you know. Some will surprise you, and some won't. But with that in mind, the theme over and over, this kept happening to you from the time you were a kid, literally, on. Mm-hmm. Forget about being in your brother's shadow. Or not. Just you talk about bad luck and bad timing. Most people would have said, okay, I'll get a day job now. What caused you to keep going?
Well, I didn't really have that many other skills. I barely got out of high school. And I believe it was a divine intervention. I believe it was a gift from God, you know, because of what I was not a likely character. My father was an Italian hairdresser, and my mother just worked a regular job, so there was no real talent or musical or support or anything like that in the family. So I felt it was a gift, and it was something I loved, because, you know, I came from like a broken home. So the thing was, it was something I loved to do, and I would never got into it for the money. But also, you got some positive attention, you know, when you kind of grow up in a screwed up household. So you got kind of positive attention doing it. And I love doing it. I mean, seriously, I believe most people, by the time Rocky came out, I was in like for 13 years as far as a professional musician, they would have probably quit within 2 years after, because the pressure, they couldn't have handled it. And because I never, you know, Raleigh, I never thought I was in anyone's shadow. People used to think that, but I never thought that. I just felt I was just up against some tough stuff. You know, I was always very proud of my brother and what he did. It wasn't his fault. You know, he was an outsider too. And and I was not the one that wanted to do a documentary. I was approached to do it. You know, at this point in my life, I was approached to do it. I said, okay, why not? Might be fun. I wasn't thinking that would have the big release it has and getting so much positive feedback. I think the positive feedback comes because it's not really, as you said, it's not really a downer at all. It's about perseverance. It's about believing in self. Loyalty to friends and family. I mean, I think it's more about that. I mean, there are a lot of people that have done a lot more than I have as far as like success, and they've lost it, and they're very bitter.
Yeah.
They're very bitter about it. You know, you can't be bitter. I mean, when I go on stage, that's my salvation for me. So the COVID thing hasn't been that fun for me.
you and so many others as far as live music.
All of them.
Absolutely. We're talking with Frank Stallone. Stallone, Frank, that is the documentary. And again, I got links at Raleigh.net or go to frankstallone.com. We'll pick it up right there. Oh, yeah, your calls are welcome. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
It's 2:45. There's no one in the place but you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I've got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my baby and one more for the got the routine, so drop another nickel in the machine.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Frank Stallone. And it's hard to pick a favorite from day in, day out, but I think that one always was mine and just sets a mood and just a terrific record. Now, Frank, did you pick all the songs on this?
Yeah, I would say I picked most of the songs on the, with Sammy Nestico. And, you know, we changed the name of the album. It was called Day In, Day Out. And then we changed it to In Love In Vain because I did a whole different cover and everything like that. So that album. But the one for my baby was interesting because someone said, well, you can't do that. That's like Frank's song. I said, well, so what? Because not many people record that because it's so related to Frank. So, but I thought we did a different arrangement. And the thing with the on that album, In Love In Vain, is that all the arrangements are original. So it wasn't like we were copying Sinatra charts or Tony Bennett or Nat Cole charts. They were all like original charts, as is with the Billy May album. And they can all be gotten on CDBaby.com. I mean, all my music is on CDBaby.com. And they've been pretty good to me so far for the last 15, 20 years. So that's where all the music, considering there's not that many music stores anymore.
Oh, to say the least, and no listening booths, that's out. But
no, they're not, no.
It's interesting. A lot of people actually, I think, have done one for my baby and not done it well. And so when I first got this, and my CD does say day in, day out, so I must have gotten one of the early
ones. Yeah, it does. You've got a collector's
item. Yeah, I do. But when I saw that, I kind of held my breath because a lot of people have done it, and very few people have done it well. And when I heard yours, it was like, oh, thank God. this is okay.
You know, it's like when people sing the national anthem. Yeah. I said, why can't you just sing the song?
Right.
You know, it's like, why do you got to just sing the song? Make it yours, sing it. You know, because everyone's always screwing around with stuff too much, you know? I mean, sing it as written. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, I also have a guitar company called Frank Stallone Guitars because, you know, when I started out, I didn't have any money and stuff like that. So what we do is we have really great guitars at really reasonable prices, but they're really great because there's a lot of people out there financially hurting, you know. And I remember as a little kid, you know, playing guitar. That's all I ever thought about was getting like a Gibson or a Fender when I was like a kid. Now I got too many of them. But that was one of those things in those days.
Well,
you know, I think we touched on that in the documentary. You know, we kind of touched on, you know, I was always a fan. I'm still a fan of other people. I remember I drove out to San Diego to hang out with Frankie Lane all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was worth every minute.
And he's forgotten. I mean, this guy had like 16, 17 charted records.
Oh, more than, and not forgotten. I mean,
maybe more than that.
I'll tell you the thing about Frankie Lane is his stuff when it was on Mercury was just the absolute best stuff. In fact, it had so much soul. And then, of course, he left Mercury and went to Columbia, and the dreaded Mitch Miller redid all those. And I swear to God, it was a soulectomy. And when you listen to it, if you don't know Frankie Lane, you don't really hear that. But when you're listening to Lucky Old Son, it's got to be the Mercury version as far as that goes.
That's my desire.
Yeah. Of course.
He was actually a very, very good singer. And he had a lot more soul and swing than a lot of the singers of that time. He could swing anywhere as hard or harder than Tony Bennett. He was much more animated and he had a great voice, he had great pipes, but he was animated. He was actually a very good performer. He was very, you know, he was very passionate type guy. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah, and I remember a story when he was first going to date his first wife, Nan,
Nan, that's right.
She thought that he was African-American because she'd heard him but not seen him. And
God.
I remember when
I met her.
Wow.
Gray. I met her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
she was
that
sick.
Goes back.
She wasn't well at the time, but she was a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, Frankie was one of the guys. He lived a pretty normal life. He did very, very well for himself. He was very frugal, and he lived very well in San Diego. And, you know, he had a really nice house, and he had a nice life. And, you know, it's funny. He was sitting there, and he was an older gent at that time,
right.
You know. And we're just sitting there singing, and I go, God, you can't miss that voice.
Yeah.
Exactly like you think, you know?
Yeah, no, there was nobody like
him. I've
been
very blessed.
Yes.
Hey, I'm very blessed, you know, to have two quotes, one by Frank Sinatra and one by Tony Bennett. I've got one from Billy Eckstein.
Yeah.
I got one from Frankie Lane,
Sammy Kahn.
Not many people can say that. I'm very, very lucky in that sense that I was around long enough when they could hear my music. And Sammy wrote the liner notes, too.
Oh, good.
For one of my albums. He did.
So we're going to pick it up right there. We're talking to Frank Stallone. And that, if you want to give us a call, got any questions? And if you haven't seen the documentary, and that's a lot of people, though it's been doing very well, you will be surprised by some of the things in it. But we're also going to go back to the beginnings, because, of course, I can't leave out Philadelphia Soul and a lot more. But 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Take it back. Do 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 do, take it back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Take it back. Do 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 do, take it back.
Well,
take
I've been
back.
Told by
do 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 do,
to people
back.
And they all say to take it back.
Do 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 do, to take it back
like before.
Do-do-do-do.
I don't call this a reason. I just call it believing in myself.
Take it back.
Do 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 do, take you back.
Well, push me back.
Do 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 do,
you're pushing me too far.
Do do do,
I love you for.
Do 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 do,
what I saw before.
Do do do,
I squeezed you and I held you, but I could not tell you I love you, 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 you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Valentine. Actually, of course, it's Frank Stallone. And if you see the documentary, there's a great story into how he got the name Valentine that I just absolutely loved. But I asked for calls, and I'll tell you what, you're one popular person, Frank. We'll kick it off with Dave and Glencoe. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Frank, so good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank
there
you.
There's a Chicagoan who lived in Lake Forest, just north of where I live, Cynthia Rhodes, who I think know your music, but I don't think they realize how big of a film star you actually contributed in the early 80s, especially with Staying Alive.
Yes. Well, she was married to Richard Marx. I remember they lived out there, yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't you do, like, most of the soundtrack?
Yeah, I wrote and sang 9 songs in the movie. Yeah, I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, there's a great great story in the documentary on that as well, in terms of how that came about. So, yeah, fascinating. I hadn't known any of that till I saw the documentary. It was worth seeing.
And you've done other films, correct?
Yeah, I've done 12 films.
Wow.
In music for.
Wow, that's,
yeah, I've done
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's been a good a pretty good time, I must say.
And a lot of acting. I had
when
noticed.
When are you going to be able to?
I was going to say.
When are you going to be able to play live again?
Good question.
Well, when everything opens up.
Yeah, who knows?
All right. Well, just a big fan, and thanks for all your
contributions. Thank you.
Well, thanks
appreciate
for calling, Dave.
Dave.
I appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, I was saying that Roger Ebert was referring to your acting as well in Barfly, saying it was outstanding. And that was not singing. That was a dramatic role. And you were both captivating and terrifying at the same time.
That means I did my job.
Yes. Yes. And did it very well, because Roger Ebert didn't throw compliments around lightly. So that's terrific. All right. So RJ is in New York. Welcome to WGN Radio, RJ.
Good evening, Raleigh, and good evening, Mr. Stallone. Thank you, first of all, for a very entertaining show. What a joy it is to hear both of you this evening. I just wanted to say thank you so very much for bringing wonderful, wonderful music to us. I've always, you know, it's not often you get a chance to be able to say thank you to an artist. I just wanted to call and tell you, your music is absolutely amazing. Quick questions, if I know there may be other people.
Well, thank
if I
you
could
very
just
much.
Ask.
Yeah.
Number one, was there any particular song choices that you left out? Number two, if you ever had to do it over again, would you do anything differently? And number three, any particular stories about the wonderful arrangements that we might not know about or we should read more of? And looking forward to picking up the CDs as gifts. Thank you so very much for what you do. And
thank you. There's
great.
Always songs you leave out because, I mean, there's so, especially in American standards, there's so many great songs.
Mm.
And yes, there are, you know, when you record an album, sometimes you record more songs on the album. You record more songs that are put on the album. Sometimes, I mean, Michael Jackson would record like 30 or 40 songs and narrow it down to like 10 or something like that. I think a lot of artists do that. And yes, all my music can be purchased at cdbaby.com. All my albums, I have like 9 albums, they all can be purchased there. But yeah, sometimes there's quite a few things that might have changed in my career. Might have, you know, maybe had a better management team and stuff like that. Always had a good band, you know, always kind of strive to have a good live band. But Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of songs. Just couldn't fit that many songs on, considering I was paying for my own albums after that.
Yeah.
You know, it was cost effective. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, well, RJ, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate
thank
the call.
You,
yeah, it's interesting. Paying for your own stuff, of course, you get to be a lot more in charge than maybe in some other things and making a lot of decisions. And one of the things I remember noticing about Day In, Day Out is this was recorded in Toronto. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was, CanCon, Canadian content guaranteed airplay in Canada. But why did you choose Toronto?
Well, Sammy did because financially it was good and we were using a lot of the players for Rob McConnell's big band, Rob McConnell's big jazz guy. So there were some great players on that album. And I guess one of the guys I worked with, Fred Mullen, was from Canada. So we actually got a pretty good deal. We did the album in 2 days, really.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, now people take 2 days to get a drum sound. So we basically... One day we did the brass, and the next day we did the brass with the strings, and then I was kind of singing live most of the time, and it was great. Sammy Nestico was one of the kindest people, one of the most patient, wonderful person, and just great, you know. And he's the last of that era. They're all gone.
Sure, they are.
Guys that started out with Count Basie and Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller, they're all gone. You know, so they're just, Sam Mandel died recently. So none of those guys are still around, and I've worked with all of them. I worked with Sammy Mandel on some things of staying alive. So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, and you were at the tail end of that when these individuals were not only alive, but still really on it. And you think about it now, because every now and then you'll see this day in history, and most of these people would be over 100 years old today. At the time, did you realize that this was such a finite opportunity? It was now or never?
Yes, because I knew, I believe, and this I think has something to do with the movie Yourself, belief in yourself. Now, I paid for these albums.
Yeah.
So it was definitely put your money where your mouth is. I mean, there was no guarantee. I had no record deal. I had nothing. But I believed, I'm doing a record with Sammy Nestico, all original charts. I'm doing the album with Sam, with Billy May. I might never get that chance again. So, and these were the greats. And like I said, the only one I would have loved to work with would have been Gordon Jenkins or Nelson Riddle.
Yeah.
But my only competition really that was, Linda Ronstadt was doing it anywhere, but she did a really good job. And my dear, dear, dear friend Harry Nilsson, I think, did one of the greatest ever Touch of Schmilson in the Night. That was a Gordon Jenkins. That was a wonderful. But I think that has something to do with the CD, If you believe in yourself, then put your money where your mouth is and see what happens. Because I don't know what it would have been like if I didn't do it. It would have been a shoulda, coulda, would have.
Sure.
Now, both albums didn't do that well, but you never know.
Exactly.
A lot of people could say, hey, man, let's re-release these because they never really had a shot. And it really is the last album Billy May ever did. So, but they never really... I don't think they ever really got the exposure they should have.
I would agree with that. And it was a time where there wasn't much airplay for it left anywhere in America. Radio was getting away from the music of What's Left of Your Life and all that. And the other person at the time when your CD came out and I was playing it, the other young guy was Harry Connick Jr., who had done a really nice pop standard CD. But then I remember KMPC had brought him to town, and in the show he didn't do pop standards. And it was almost like a revolt.
No, he did like Thelonious Monk's.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was a little
before him. I did mine in 86, 87. Yeah. Well, he's younger than me. But, Michael Bublé is a friend of mine, and he's a real nice guy. But, again, Raleigh, it has a lot to do who's behind you. I mean, Michael Bublé had, some really, good people. David Foster had some good people behind him.
Sure.
And that And that's like with anything, you know, it's timing and the right people behind you for the moment of opportunity. And that's the way it goes. But you know what? I got to tell you, Riley, I'm healthy. You know, I'm in better shape than I was. You know, at my age right now, I mean, I could still go and do a two-hour-plus show. I'm not even worried about it. But I still have the enthusiasm of a young guy. I don't have that, you know, old man type thing. You know, as long as my body holds up, you know. But, man, I feel pretty good. Yeah, listen, my mother, God rest her soul, passed away a month and a half short of 99 years old. And she still drove.
And she's in the documentary.
Yes, she is. I know. And, you know, it's funny. I've lost seven people in the documentary.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen it since then, but we'll see how that goes. And I kept telling the guys, I said, the way people are passing away, let's get this movie out. Or it'll be called Stallone Posthumously.
Right. you wouldn't be around to see it, sure.
Yeah, I might not be around to enjoy my own movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mother's looking down from the stars, and because she never got to see the movie, but she's there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Danny Aiello, God rest his soul, my first drummer, Mark, my agent, John LaRocca, Sammy, you know, Russ Regan, who signed me to Polygram Records. You know, I drive by KMPC all the time because it's right near my house. I'm right near Ohio, right there.
Yeah, and
I don't even know what it is now. I heard it was a country station or something.
I lost it when it was sports. I don't know after that, but of course, in the Gene Autry days, of course, it looks so wonderful right on Sunset there, and it looks like this big building. But unless you're inside, you don't realize that was a movie set. It's not wide. It's a long building, but it's absolutely not wide.
It was great, you know, and what was great about that was like Pat Buttram was always on.
Oh yes, funniest man alive.
That was. Oh, he was really funny, and Pat was great. And I used to go to the Golden Boot Awards, and he was the master of ceremonies. And he would get a little off, but he was really funny.
Oh, absolutely!
And that was like Gene's really good friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why he was doing that little morning thing, and just
hilarious. They used to hang out at the Sportsman's Lodge almost all the time.
Yes, absolutely. On Coldwater Canyon, of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
They sit there and have their afternoon drinks, Pat. Yeah. Jock Mahoney and Gene. And I met Gene a few times, and he was just like he'd be. A lovely guy. And so was Roy Rogers. I mean, that's, you know. And so now I spend my time watching Encore West on TV, you know, faith-based films and fun stuff.
Sure.
You know, there's enough depression going on in this world, so that's what movies are supposed to do. That's what my mom used to tell me during the Depression. That's why people went to the movies, to get you out of where you are.
Oh, you're so right. And your documentary does that. It absolutely is uplifting, and it's fun. And Stallone, Frank, that is. And again, you can find out more about it at frankstallone.com, or there's links right on raleigh.net, and we'll pick it up there. If you want to join us, 888-876-5593. There you go. 888-ROLLYE. And, you know, we talk about radio a lot, particularly radio back in the day. And I've got a ton of them because they're nothing better than DXing at night. And have I got a suggestion for you? We were talking about this last week too, the CC Radio 2E. It's just great. Take another radio, put it next to this, tune to a weak AM station, then try the CC Radio 2E, and boy, will you hear the difference. It's one of the best AM/FM radios made today. With the 2E, you will hear things better, louder, more clearly, and it's also got a digital readout. So while I love those analog dials to DX, when knowing where you are on the dial and just tuning it in is just a pleasure, it's designed to receive long-range AM and FM stations and to make weak signals strong. It also gets weather with alert, which makes it a great emergency radio, too. It's from the Sea Crane Company, of course. And if you go to ccradio.com anytime or ccrane.com, you will see a ton of radios, and I'll tell you they're all great. But if you're looking for something that is going to make it sound like what you're listening to is right there in the room with you, you will like the CC Radio 2E. And you know, one of the most important things is picking out a radio that you're going to enjoy for years to come. And I can tell you what, I wouldn't part with mine. It's right by my bedside. The CC Radio 2E from Sea Crane, with the power and the strength to bring the signal in better. It's that simple. To order, CC Radio 2E. Call 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. Or visit them online anytime, ccrane.com or ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you, and it's also available on Amazon for quicker shipping. I'm Raleigh James, and it is WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Frank Stallone and Darlin', and that's a woulda, coulda, shoulda to me. I thought the record was a hit, and I understand exactly what you mean about there are so many factors behind the scenes that go into play, but hopefully more people will hear this, because I thought it was a great album all the way around. But I got to ask you, because I'm running out of time and need to talk about Philly, because you grew up in Philly, so I assume you grew up listening to Jerry Blabbitt, the Geeter with the Heater, and
listen, I grew up in Maryland. I went to Philly later when my mother got divorced in about 1958. But I will tell you this, I grew up with all the Boss Jocks, Joe Niagara, High Lit, Jerry Blabbitt. They were great. I mean, I was real. You have to understand, I'm from the era where we were always listening to the radio. I mean, and I'm serious when I mean this. I used to go to bed with the radio, and I'd wake up, and the radio would still be on.
Yeah, of course.
I remember listening to the Skyliners, Pennies from Heaven. Then I remember when the English Invasion came in. And what was so great about radio then, as you know, is that all of a sudden you hear Frank Sinatra singing Strangers in the Night, and then next you'd have Rolling Stones playing Satisfaction. Then you have Dean Martin. Then you have the Lovin' Spoonful playing. You Didn't Have to Be So Nice. So it was so eclectic, and I think that's probably why, what they mentioned in my film, that I really was maybe a little too eclectic for my own good, because I really liked everything. So, and I was blessed. I was able to play a lot of different styles, so it was pretty cool for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. The top 40 used to be just that, the 40 most popular music. It didn't matter what the genre was.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you were listening to Wibbage, you'd hear it all, which obviously you were.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, me, I was going to H-A-T and D-A-S. You know, I wanted to hear Jaco Henderson, you know.
Or Georgie Woods.
Yes, the guy with the goods, you betcha. I still have a bag of Georgie Woods potato chips when he brought those
Oh, my God. But, you know, they were great, man, because they would have those shows at the Uptown Theater $1.50. The Temps, the Four Tops, the Impressions, the Vibrations. I mean, and then you go to Atlantic City and they have all that stuff. And it was really, listen, Philadelphia has really changed a lot. But it was a very much, you know, I just did a show with Bobby Rydell. Philadelphia was such a boiling pot. You had, I mean, you had the Spinners, you had the Delphonics, the Stylistics, Hall and Oates. I mean, I grew up with Daryl and John. But then you had Chubby Checker, Frankie Avalon, Bobby Rydell, just a ton.
Oh yeah,
music there.
Yeah, the Silhouettes and all the
Dillup,
so much of it that didn't even chart, that were just great Philly oldies. And so,
well, that's where the acapella stuff came in, because there used to be a record company. There was a record store called the Record Museum.
Sure, of course.
And there were these offshoot little labels called Relic Records.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah, Jerry Green.
Yeah, and they were just doo-wop. You know, so it was like the Cressman, a lot of white guys, you know, like Italian guys, like, you know, almost kind of like the Skyliners, that type of stuff. And that's what it was before the British invasion came. It was more of that stuff.
Of course it was. Well, and yeah, that that was the end for me. And I was watching the documentary, and as I say, hopefully everybody will, I thought to myself, man, if you were just 10 years older, because you hit right at that British invasion time, and you know, those years were hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, because there was so much incoming, and a lot of good stuff, a lot of so much incoming, but I was also there to witness the beginning of Elvis Presley on TV, which knocked my socks off. I mean, so, and I don't know if we'll ever see, I don't think so, just because what I'm seeing out there musically, you will never see the hysteria of an Elvis or the Beatles or Frank Sinatra ever again.
No,
ever.
No, because we had that shared experience. All of us were listening to Wibbage at night or waking up with Wibbage in the morning, and now there are so many choices. I could go on for hours, so hopefully we can do this again sometime.
I would love to, and, you know, if friends want to reach out to me at Instagram, I'm at frank.stallone, and I try to get back to all my fans that write to me and keep them updated and going on. And I want to thank everyone out there that is going to see the movie or has seen the movie, and I hope you walk away with something, get something out of it.
I guarantee you will. Well, thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right.
A great one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And we'll pick up with trivia next on WGN Radio.